We begin the current daven, Septus Kedushin, daven and dal. Begin on the bottom line of daven, gimel and beis, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. That is, the Mishnah, the Gemara had quoted the halacha for the Mishnah, which again, our Mishnah was speaking about being mekadosh a woman with different types of things which are debatable if they're considered the man's money to be mekadosh a woman with. And two of those halachas, which were machlekes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah, was regarding Maaser Sheni and regarding Hekdesh. Maaser Sheni, Rav Meir held, as the Gemara explained in the previous daf, is Mama Gevaya. Can't be Mekadosh or woman with that, you don't own it, it's Hashem. See, Hashem just lets you eat it in Yerushalayim. Now, Rabbi Huda actually differentiated. He said, B'mezid, you could be Mekadosh Isha, but B'shogig not. So the Gemara wanted to know why. If he holds B'mezid, yes, obviously he holds his mum and head, yet it's owned by the person, and that's why when you do it deliberately with both parties aware of it, it creates a condition, then why B'shogig not? And moreover, there's a machlikas they had regarding Hekdesh. Regarding Hekdesh, it's actually opposite opinions remain in Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda said that b'shogig it will create a kedushin because that's when the halachas of me'ila apply, and therefore that is ma'itzit l'chulin, and therefore you do own it when you're being ma'il in it, and therefore you're being mekadosh a woman with something, whereas b'mezid it's not going to create a kedushin because you didn't really do me'ila, and hence then you don't really own it even though you're giving it and you're being ma'itzit l'chulin, it's still not going to be really be ma'itzit l'chulin because it's still around and you're doing it b'mezid, whereas Remeir's opinion was that b'mezid, it will be mekadosh a woman. So obviously he holds that you could be meitzit l'chulin, and when you do it deliberately, it's going to create a kedushin. But b'shoigig he held, it's not going to create a kedushin. So the Gemara wanted to know, those two halachas are very challenging to understand. Rabbi Huda by Maaser Sheni, and Remeir by Hekdesh. Why, if they both hold b'mezid, it works? Well, obviously they hold that it becomes your money, or it is your money. Why b'shoigig it's not going to work? So Rabbi Yaakov said over in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, where it wasn't clear which one specifically was each one said, but for sure in regards to the woman, that both by Maaser Sheni, even though it's the man's own money, but the woman would not be agreeable. In other words, so if she's not aware, we're going to hold it's a tois of kedushin there. And by Hekdesh, she's also going to be considered a tois. Maaser Sheni, it's a tois because she doesn't want to have to go up all the way to Yerushalayim. And by Hekdesh, she's going to be tois because she doesn't want to have to be the one that's being mechal Hekdesh through the committal of Me'ila. And that's why both Rav Meir regarding Maaser Sheni and Rabbi Huda regarding Maaser Sheni and Rav Meir regarding Hekdesh, they hold, although that it is the person's money, but it's not going to be a kedushin. Now, the Gemara qualified Rabbi Yechanan's halacha that actually Rabbi Yechanan holds Rav Meir's opinion by Hekdesh is that when you do it b'shogig, you're not committing me'ila. Again, because you're not aware of it. Now, as we'll see on the end of our sugi here on Amud Beis, if you consumed it, as we explained in the previous stuff, then you committed me'ila by default because it's not around anymore. But by money, where you're spending it, whether in the kedushin or in the sale, you didn't commit me'ila. If you did deliberately, Remeir holds, so that's going to create a chilul because you deliberately did that, and that's committing me'ila. And therefore, what you're doing is being effective because you're taking out from Hekdesh to Chulin, and therefore it's going to be a sale or it's going to be a kedushin. But b'shoigig, when you're not aware of it, no one would want to be party to that, and therefore it wouldn't create a kinyan by mechira. It won't be, as Remeir says in Halach of HaMishnah, create a kinyan of kedushin. That was the way Rabbi Yechanan explained Remeir's halacha, similar to how we explained Rabbi Huda's halacha of Maaser Sheni, that b'shogig is not going to work. Because by b'shogig, you're actually not committing me'ila. Since you're not aware of it, you wouldn't want it to happen. And therefore, unless if you're consuming it, it's not going to be me'ila. Now, and that the Gemara continues, Amar Rav. Rav actually disputes the interpretation of Rabbi Yechanan and gives a different interpretation in the halacha of Remeir of our Mishnah. As we continue on top of Nadal and Medav, he says that although, which was the impetus of Rabbi Yechanan's halacha, although we learned in our Mishnah, according to Remeir, that when a man, by mistake, he doesn't realize what he's giving the ring to the woman, is a ring of Hekdesh. So Rav Meir said, if you did it by Shaygig, it's not going to create a Kedushin. So what Rav is coming to say, not like Rabbi Yechanan, is not because Rav Meir holds, when you're Mechal Hekdesh by Shaygig, it's not creating a Chil, and since you're not creating a Chil, it's not your money, it's still monies of Hekdesh. Says Rav, that's not the case. Because Chazarnu al kol tzdodim shel Rav Meir, we reviewed everywhere Rav Meir talks about the halachas of Hekdesh, says Rav. V'lei mitzinu, we never found one place that he says this big yesod, according to Rabbi Yechanan, that Hekdesh b'shogig mischal, which is this concept Rabbi Yechanan was saying in Rav Meir's opinion, that by Hekdesh, when you're mechaled by mistake, then it's not going to create a chil. B'mezid mischal, but if you do it deliberately, that will create a chil. Says Rav, we never find him saying this concept of Rabbi Yechanan's purporting to say is his opinion. Rather, says Rav, whether you mechalit b'shegig or b'mezid, it is going to create a chilul. Not like the way Rabbi Yochanan said. Rather, a mayor holds that there is me'ila even by mo'is of hektish, even by mummies. Because once you commit me'ila, you give it to somebody else, it will go out to chulun. Now, but then the question is, so in Mishnah Seinu, so how do you explain the halacha of our Mishnah? Why is it then, if he's giving her for Kedushin, Mois of Hektish, by mistake, we say it's not going to create a Kedushin? Obviously, it would sound like Rabbi Yechanan that it's not going to create a chil when you do it b'shagi. Says Rav, no, it's talking about a specific type of a case. Because kahuna shlei balu, we're talking about the garments of the Kahanim, which wasn't worn out yet, which are still fit for him to do that Vaida. Now, as long as he could still wear these tunics, these garments for the Avodah, the service in the Beis HaMikdash, there's not going to be any me'ila in the misappropriation when you do it b'shagi by mistake, because actually that is the sanctification that they were originally inaugurated with, the garments of the kahuna, that there shouldn't be any me'ila when it's done b'shagi. Now, why? And therefore that's the case over here of Rav Meir and our Mishnah, when you give the woman this tunic that you wear as a kayin, and you give it to her, although you didn't realize that this is hektish, but since it's b'shegig, there's no me'il of hektish, but only in the kasnais of kahan, by the kahana garments. Everything else of hektish, of course there would be chil, and of course it would create a kedushin. Now, why are the garments of the kahan different? Because since the kahanim have a right to derive personal pleasure, again, when they do it b'shegig, as we're explaining, it's only when they didn't do it deliberately, as long as they didn't intend to be mechalet, they could go ahead and derive personal pleasure from it. Now, why? Isn't the kahanic garments hektish and it's only for them to do the avodah? Yeah, but lefish le nitna tari l'malach ha'sharis. The tari was not given to ministering angels. In other words, that we should expect the standard of kahanim to be so industrious and zerizim like angels that the second they finish their avodah, take off the clothing, shouldn't delay for a second, even the blink of an eye. You can't, you're human. And since you're human, so when they designated the kahanic garments to have hektish, was only to say that you're not allowed to be mechalet b'mezit. But by mistake, I didn't get a chance to take it off, and I was schmoozing with someone, and you're not allowed to wear the kind of garments then, that they never designated to have that kedusha. And therefore, that's why, when you're going to be mekadesh a woman with it, b'shaygig, there's not going to be me'ilah, and if there's no me'ilah, so then there's no kedusha. But says Rav, in general, of course your me'ilah holds, not like Rabbi Yochanan said, b'im b'mezit, b'im b'shaygig, there would normally be me'ilah, and therefore it would be effective, but here we're talking about specifically the case of the garments of the kahanim. So that's our machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan in interpreting the opinion of Rav Meir regarding is there chil when you mechal hektish b'shagig or not. Now the Gemara asks on Rav's opinion. Toshima, we learned in the Braisa that says, kasnes kahuna shabalu, regarding the kahana garments that got worn out, moyelin behem divri emir. Meir says that even though they're worn out, you will commit me'ila if you misappropriate it. So ask the Gemara, my love, wouldn't it be saying, afila loy balu, that even if it's not worn out, that's what's the halacha, that of course it would be me'ila. In other words, it's just saying, even though it's worn out, or what's a rag, you would say there wouldn't be me'ila anymore. You say, no, it's still considered hektish, and it's going to be me'ila. But it would sound like that if it's not worn out, then for sure it would be me'ila. Now, that's not like the way Rav's proposing. Rav's proposing that kahana garments are different, that there's no me'ila for when you mechalit b'shegig, because that's how it was designated originally, because they're not malach hasharis. And that the Gemara says, lie. Not difficult from this b'risa. Balu dafka. The b'risa is talking about specifically if it got worn out. In other words, now that the kahana garments are worn out, and you can't use it anymore for the avodah because they have to be sharp clothing, they have to be well-dressed, so now they're still hektish, but actually now they're actually more severe, because now they're not kind of garments anymore. They're like other hektish, and you're not allowed to derive pleasure from other hektish. When they're garments, then you have that dispensation that, okay, they're not malach hasharis. So then there's no me'ila b'shagig. But now actually when they're balu, then there's actually going to be me'ila b'shagig, because now you don't have the heter of big dekuna. So it's not difficult on Rav. But the Gemara continues asking, Toshima, for the following b'risa. Now this b'risa is based on the concept that there were certain boxes in the Beis HaMikdash called shofaris, because they were actually shaped like a shofar, which is narrow on the top and wide on the bottom, so people can stick their hands in if they wanted to steal money from there. Now they would put the shkalim, the coins that the people would donate for the purposes of karbanis and in the Beis HaMikdash, which everyone every year had to give a machzah shekel, a half a shekel. Now one of the boxes, it would say tikkun chaditin. These are the new shkalim. And whoever didn't give his shekel in Adar, which is the earliest time when you're really supposed to give it, so you could give it throughout the whole entire year, would put it into that box, and the treasurer of Hekdesh would put it from there into the Lishka, into the chamber, which when it comes the time of when they would separate the Trumas, which were three times during the year, they would then take from this Shkalim that this person put into that box. Now, there was another box that said Tiklin Atikin. These are the old Shkalim. Now, if someone didn't take off the Machzor Shekel, he didn't come and bring it to the base of Hekdesh from last year, so he comes the next year, and he puts it into this box, which is from last year's Shkalim, and then the treasurer empties out those monies, and he puts it into what's called the Shiyari Lishka, the remnants of the chamber, which is from last year, and that's where he puts it there, and then they utilize it for whatever they use from leftover Shkalim. So now that's what the Bryce is talking about, that Mailin Bechadetim, the halacha of Me'ila would be if someone misappropriates the new Shkalim, then there's going to be the halach of Me'ila. The reason being is because those new shkalim are designated to be used for Karbanos Tzibur, and therefore that's for ultimate Hekdesh. Therefore, if you use those monies, you're committing Me'ila. But ve'ein mo'ilin ba'atikim divrei Rebbe Yehuda. But there is no Me'ila in the old shkalim, says Rebbe Yehuda. Now, the reason being is because, as we said, with their earmark, the designation is for the Shiyari Lishka, for the remnants of the chamber. Now, those monies are given for the upkeep of the walls of the city, and for the towers, and for all the different needs of fixing the city, as the Gemara will shortly quote us. Now, Rabbi Huda holds that there is no me'ilu b'shayari lishka, which is the remnants of the monies which are left over after they take off the boxes three times during the year, the three trumas, the leftovers are used for these city maintenance. Those things, there's not going to be me'ilu on them, and therefore the monies designated for them, there's also not going to be me'ilu. Now, Rav Meir Omer, he says, Moilan af batikim, he says, no, there's going to be me'ila even if you misappropriate the coins from the box that has the old coins. Shahay Rav Meir Omer, because Rav Meir said, Moilan b'shiyari halishka, that there is me'ila on even the remnants of the chamber coins, which were never used at the end from that are used for the karbanos, because there's only that much you can use for karbanos, and the remnants are not used for that. He says there's me'ila even on that. So therefore, the coins earmarked for Shiar Lishka will also be, there'll be a committal of me'ila. That's what the Brisa says. And that the Gemara asked on Rav, Vamai, but why? Namely, we should say, as Rav explains Rav Meir's opinion in our Mishnah, Hoil v'nitnu lohanois, this should be seemingly the same halacha that he says regarding Big De Kahuna, and that is, since these Shiar HaLishka are given for a person to derive pleasure for, why? And why is that? Because the Torah is not given for ministering angels, as the Gemara explains. These remnant coins, yeah, you can't just use it whatever you want, but you see that obviously you're allowed to derive personal pleasure from it. And the reason being is because what are they used for? They're used for the wall of the city and for the towers. Now, although generally these are things still, you shouldn't misappropriate them. We need it for the upkeep of the city. But you're human. And if you're human, you're not a malach hasharis. So when we designate things that are for human participation, we realize, okay, you're not an angel. You're not perfect. And therefore, when you do it b'shagig, you're not going to be committing me'ilah. And hence, that's the Gemara's question on Rav. Then why would your mayor say that there is me'ilah in Shiar HaLishka, so too from these boxes of the old coins, if Shiar HaLishka are for things that are human participation, and then there shouldn't be any me'ilah regarding when you do it b'shagig. It's not like within the Mishnah Masechta Shkalim. It says the chayma seir, the wall of the city, umigdal haseir and its towers, b'chol tzachir and all the needs of the city, boin mishir alishka. They come for the remnants of the coins which weren't used for the karbanos tzibur. So then the question of Rav is, why is there me'ila? We should say that you don't have a committal of me'ila when you do it b'shagig, because since those monies of mishir alishka are used for the walls of the city, and you're not an angel, to be careful from the wall of the city that you shouldn't be in the shade of the wall. Oh, you're getting pleasure from it. To not go on the wall, you can't, because it's human participation. So obviously, says the Gemara, that even though it's permitted to get pleasure from the wall of the city for other things, but for things that are not necessary, like taking the coins earmarked for it, that it does maintain its kedusha. And therefore the question on Rav is, so why is that any different than the custom of the kahuna? Why, yes, although let's say when he's wearing it, so okay, he's only human, you can't hold him responsible for being b'shagig, having pleasure, but when he uses it for something else, like b'mekadosh ha'isha, that should be considered a true chil that you would be liable even b'shagig, which is seemingly the same halacha we're saying over here with Shira Lishka. So why then, according to Rav, would Reb Meir say that wouldn't create a kedushin? Why is it any different than, although when you have pleasure from the wall, and you won't be held culpable for that, but taking the coins that are earmarked for the wall, you would be liable even doing b'shagig. Why is it different than the case of Rav, who, in the same opinion of Reb Meir, would hold that there is going to be, that it is going to be universal, and that you're going to be patur from any shagig? So the Gemara says, that would be a good question. But loy tem Reb Meir, don't say that it's Reb Meir who says this halacha, ela im Reb Yehuda, rather say that it was Reb Yehuda, meaning it should say Reb Yehuda Eimer Moya Limbatikim. Actually, you should switch and say Reb Yehuda is the one who says that there is going to be Me'ila in the old coins, because actually that jives very well with his opinion in our Mishnah. He's the one that said that when you do Me'ila, you do Chil B'Shagig, that it will create a Kedushin. And that's because he holds, not like Reb Meir, and that even though the kusnes kuna, the kahana garments, were given for kahanim to have pleasure, meaning because they're only human, they can't rip it off the second they finish the avoda, but regarding other hanois, it does maintain its kedusha, and then there is going to be me'ila when he goes and, let's say, does a kedushin with it, and it will go out l'chul, and that's why it creates a kedushin. Whereas Rabbi Huda held that if he does a b'mezid, then there's no halacha of me'ila per se, then Rabbi Huda held that it's not going to be mechalat, and therefore it's not going to create a kedushin. So therefore it's not so difficult really to say that it wasn't Rabbi Meir, it was Rabbi Huda, because actually that does sound like Rabbi Huda's opinion of our Mishnah. And therefore it's not difficult on Rav. So the Gemara continues asking, Toshima, come in here, the Tanya learned in the Braisa, that Amr Bishmol bar Rabbi Yitzchak, he says, Avnei Yerushalayim shenashru. If the stones in Yerushalayim, if they fall out of place, the bricks come off, the halach is moyle mehem divrei Meir. Meir says, you commit me'ila. If you're going to use those bricks, which fall off the wall, you committed me'ila. That's the opinion of Meir. Now, how can you say that? You said that the walls they come from the Shira Halishka. Now you said, but since people are only human, you said that it's a universal thing, just like by the count of garments, it's not just when he wears it after he finishes avoda, even be mekadesh a woman, we never said it regarding b'shagig. Say here also, just like if you're in the shade of the wall, if you have enough mit b'shagig, you're not going to be chayiv, so why if it falls off and then you use it, would your maybe say you're committing me'ila, if according to your interpretation of Ray's opinion, it's a universal thing that by b'shagig, by things of human participation, since you're not malach asharis, you're exempt. So the Gemara says here also, don't say it was Rabbi Huda, it's actually Rabbi Huda. And again, as we explained before, Rabbi Huda is of the opinion that there is going to be a halacha of me'ila regarding these things when you do it b'shagig, although, yes, for normal human things, which is like wearing it after the avoda, or when it's on the wall and you're in the shade, that you're not going to be chayiv, but when it falls off, then you are going to be chayiv according to Rabbi Huda. But Rabbi Meir, Rav, could still say that he gives a carte blanche. He says it's across the board. There's not going to be any liability, any chil, any me'ila for when you're mechal hektish b'shagig. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, E Rabbi Huda, if the Tana of this price is that you're answering for Rav like Rabbi Huda, but then we have a different difficulty. Yerushalayim mimekacha? Does Yerushalayim have sanctity? In other words, you're saying that, okay, when it falls off, you use those bricks, you're chayif for me'ila. But seemingly, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't even hold that Yerushalayim even has kedusha to commit me'ila. Because Vatanan, we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Nedarim, where if someone says, regarding a loaf of bread that's next to him, he says that this loaf of bread should be on me, which is the lashon of taking a neder, harei alai kikar zeh, ki imra, like the seh, like the lamb that's brought as a carbon tamid. Or kedirim, meaning these are things that he's transitioning the kedusha of hektish to have to be taif as a neder to create like a vow forbidding this thing to him, just like hektish, so that this loaf of bread should be forbidden to him. Here he's picking items of hektish, either like the carbon tamid or kedirim, which are the enclosures that hold the animals of hektish, or the wood that's used for hektish, or he says keitzim, like the wood which is used to burn on the mizbeach, or keishim, like the fires of the mizbeach, or kehecha, like the sanctuary, or kemizbeach, like the altar itself, or Yerushalayim, like Yerushalayim. Either one of these are, you're being typhus in your neder, something of hektish. So it's going to be a valid neder, and the loaf of bread is going to be forbidden on you. Now, Rabbi Huda, I mean, he disagrees. He says, Kalo'imi Yerushalayim, lo'imaklum. Whoever says Yerushalayim, you didn't say anything. That's not being typhus in neder, because that's not something of hektish. So you see clearly that Rabbi Huda holds Yerushalayim is not kaddish. So how can you say the Braisa, the town of the Braisa, Rabbi Huda, and that's why you're going to be chayav me'ila? But Rabbi Huda holds that the stones of Yerushalayim doesn't have kedusha. So how could you be committing me'ila? Now, that the Gemara says, now, v'chitem, and if you're going to say that this Rabbi Huda says that lo'im aklum, when you're being taifis in Yerushalayim, you didn't say anything, is mishum de lo'im ki Yerushalayim. is, of course, you didn't say that the loaf of bread should be like Yerushalayim. Rather, the person said, Hareza Olai Yerushalayim, but this loaf of bread is Ami Yerushalayim, which you're not saying anything, and that's why Lama Klom. But had he said like Yerushalayim, then actually he would agree to the Tanna Kamma that it would be a Tfisa, because Yerushalayim is Kaddish. But Vatanya Linda Bryson, not like that. Rav Yehuda Imi says clearly, Kolo Imi Ki Yerushalayim, whoever says that this thing, this loaf of bread should be on me, like Yerushalayim, Lo Ima Klom, he hasn't said anything, Atche Yadr, B'dava Hakar, B'bi Yerushalayim. Unless if he's taking a neder for something that's sacrificed in Yerushalayim, which is like a carbon and all these other things, then you're being matfes b'davar HaKadosh, that'll create a neder. So you see clearly Rabbi Yehuda holds that Yerushalayim, even if you say it should be like Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim doesn't have Kedusha. So how can we say the Tana of this Braisa, the answer of a Rav, is not Remei, it's really Rabbi Yehuda, but how, according to Rabbi Yehuda, could you be committing Me'ila on a brick from Yerushalayim when Yerushalayim has no Kedusha? So the Gemara says, as we continue to Talmud Beis, Trei Tanoi v'alibad Rabbi Yehuda, that there's two different Tanoim that argue and dispute the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, there is an opinion, which is this first price that we brought, that holds that Yerushalayim does have Kedusha like Hekdesh, and that's why regarding the Avnei Yerushalayim that falls off, you would commit Me'ilah. So if you take one of the walls, one of the bricks of the wall, and you build it in your house, you have committed Me'ilah. But then you're right, then there's this other price, which we quoted, which holds that there's not going to be any Kedusha. That's Rabbi Huda who disputes it down the Kama, and he says, Kaloimi Yerushalayim, or even Ki Yerushalayim, it's not going to be a neder, because that opinion Rabbi Huda holds that it's not going to be, Yerushalayim has no Kedusha. But it doesn't contradict the answer we gave for Rav, because there is a different Tana that holds in Rabbi Huda that it does have a Kedusha. And therefore that's going like Rabbi Huda, not like Remeir. Now that was all in resolving the interpretation of Rav in his opinion of Remeir in our Mishnah. Now, Amma Ula Mishmei de Barpada, Ula said the name of Barpada, which he disputes Rav, and he holds like a B'yechanan, that the reason of Remeir in our Mishnah is because he actually holds that Hekdesh is not nischal, it's not deconsecrated when you do it b'shoigig by mistake, because actually when you do it by mistake, nothing's really happening, it's a mekach tois, there's no acquisition happening over here, because the person doesn't want to be mechal Hekdesh. Yeah, if you do it deliberately, Remeir holds, okay, you want to do that, so then you're being mechal it. But b'shoigig, that actually he holds like Rabbi Yechanan, that there is no chil, and that's why in our Mishnah there's not going to be any kedushin. So he holds, he says, Oimer Remeir said, Hekdesh b'mezid mischal. Regarding Hekdesh, when you do it deliberately, that will create a chil. B'shagig ain't mischal. When you do it by mistake, it doesn't create a chil. Which again is like Rabbi Yechanan's interpretation of Remeir. Now, v'lo Oimer b'shagig mischal. However, they didn't say that by shagig there is going to be chil. In other words, in the Torah, we didn't write that there's going to be chil b'shagig, because as we just explained, Rav Meir holds that there is no chil b'shagig. Ela in carbon bilvad, only regarding a carbon. In other words, although the monies themselves, wherever they are, they're considered in the domain of Hekdesh, you did not really commit me'il, you weren't mechalit, you didn't deconsecrate it from Hekdesh to chulin. But when the Torah says that there is going to be chil b'shagig, it's regarding, but you're still going to be liable for the carbon me'ilah, for the attempt of at least trying to do that. Now, but the Gemara asks on that, but if you're interpreting in Rav Meir's opinion that there is no chilul, you didn't do anything, you didn't take it out from Hekdesh to Chulin when you did it b'shagig, so carbon b'may mechayiv, so what is the liability of the carbon for? You didn't do anything. How can you be mechayiv a carbon for when you didn't really commit me'ila? So Ela Rav, the Gemara says, ki asa Ravin, when Ravin came, parish mishmei de barpada, he interpreted, explained in the name of barpada, not like the way Ula had said it, that in the Torah when they said, although there's no chil b'shagig, but they were said regarding carbon, he says it differently. He says that, Oimar Remeir, Remeir said, Hekdesh b'mezim mischal. By Hekdesh, when you do deliberately, that will create a chil. B'shagig, as we said, according to Remeir, like Rabbi Yechanan says, and Barpada saying, ein mischal. There's no chil. V'le'amru b'shagig mischal, but when did they say that there is an element of chil regarding shagig? Ela in achil b'vad. That's only regarding consumption. Where if someone eats a loaf of Hekdesh, where now it's not around anymore, obviously, you will machal it. Even though you did a b'shagig, because the proof is in the pudding, it's not here anymore. Same thing would be if, let's say, you light a candle of Hekdesh, or any type of pleasure that consumes it, of course you did me'ila, even b'shagig. But what Rabbi Yechanan is interpreting in the Remeir's opinion in our Mishnah is, but let's say when you spend the money of Hekdesh, there is no me'ila because it didn't get removed from Hekdesh. It's still moist of Hekdesh, no matter where it is. It's just not here. It's somewhere else. but that you never removed, you weren't mechalit from Hekdesh to Chulin, and therefore you didn't do any Me'ila, and you're not going to be liable, and therefore that was the opinion of a mayor in our Mishnah who held that you can't create a Kedushin because you didn't. It's not your money yet, you weren't Mol, and that you weren't mechalit when you do it. B'shoig again, in contrast to the opinion of Rab, who said that no, of course our mayor agrees that this Me'ila, there's Chilul, both by B'mezit and by B'shoig. The reason why he holds in the case of our Mishnah that it's not going to work as a Kedushin is because it's specifically talking about the Kasnais Kahuna, the Kahanic garments, where since we can't hold them liable when if they're by mistake and have some pleasure from their garments, so we never were makdash it to consider it as me'ila regarding when the misappropriation is done, b'shoigig, and therefore when he's mekadesh to a woman, b'shoigig with his Kohanic garments, he was never mechalit, and therefore it's not a kedushin because it never became his. It's still Kohanic garments, no matter where they are, whether he's holding it or if the woman's holding it. Now the Gemara concludes these two machloikis that we had in the Mishnah, continuing from the previous staff, between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda, regarding the halacha of Maiser Sheni, can you do a kedushin with that? And regarding the halacha of Hekdesh. So Amr of Nachman, Amr of Adar Bar Hava, says, halacha k'remeir b'meiser. Halacha is like remeir regarding meiser, whereas we said regarding meiser sheni, it's considered mama gevaya. It's Hashem's money. Hashem just lets you eat it in Yerushalayim. And therefore, halacha is like remeir, whether b'shoigig or b'meiser, doesn't make a difference. It's not going to be a kedushin because it's not your money. And the reason why the halachas are remeir and meiser is hoyel v'sosin lon tana kavasei, is because, as the Gemara will shortly quote, there's a Tana that anonymously says that halacha like Remeir. So since it's anonymous, that tells us that this is the halacha. And v'halacha k'Rebbi Yehuda b'hekdesh, halacha is like Rebbi Yehuda by hekdesh, which, as we explain, his opinion, which is not disputed, is that if you mechalit by mistake, that's going to be mechalit. And however, when you do it deliberately, actually, the opposite of Remeir's opinion, it's not going to create a chil. And the reason is Hoyel B'Sosim Lon Tana Kavasei, because we have a Tana that says him anonymously, like his opinion. As the Gemara explains, K'remeya B'Maisa Mahi. So the Gemara asks, where do we find an anonymous Mishnah like Remeir that Maisa Sheni is Mamun Gevaya? It's not the person's own money, but rather Hashem's money. And therefore you can't be Mekadosh with it. Ditnan, like we learned in the Mishnah, which actually this Mishnah, as the Gemara will conclude, we find in more than one place. It's in Masechta Peya, it's in Masechta Maisa Sheni, it's also in Masechta's Idios. The Mishnah says, Kerem Revai, which is when someone plants a vineyard. The first 3 years, the fruits are forbidden as Arla. The fourth year is called Kerem, the vineyard, the Revai of the fourth year, which you're permitted to eat it, you bring it up to Yerushalayim, and then you eat those fruits. Now, Bishami Aymim, they say, Ein Loi Chaymish. There is no a penalty of paying a fifth. In other words, for example, let's say by Meiser, where you have to bring up your Maisa Sheni to Yerushalayim. If you don't want to bring up all your fruits, you have to then deconsecrate it, you exchange it for monies, but you have to add on a fifth. Now, what Bisham is saying regarding Kerem Revai, if someone is Mechal his Peiris onto monies to bring it up to Yerushalayim, he does not have to add on a fifth, even if it's the owner doing it, which by Maisa Sheni, the owner doing it has to add a fifth. By Kerem Revai, says Bisham, you don't have to add a fifth. And Ve'en Loi Bir, additionally, there's no halachas of beer, which is that you have to eliminate your maisers in the third and the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, which you have to get the maisers out of the house. Well, you're not allowed to hold on to it any longer, as the Pasuk says, Kis Chalala Aser, says Bishamah, that halacha does not apply to Kerem Revai. You could hold on to it even longer than that. Now, Bisila, I mean, he argues, he says, Yeshlai, says, no, that there is a penalty of a chaimish, and there is a limitation of how long you could hold on to it. You have to eliminate it by the third and the sixth year. As he will shortly explain his source. Now another machloek is Bishami Imrim. Bishami say, Yeshle Peret, Vyeshle Eilis. There is a halacha of the Matnas Aniyim of the Kerem Revai, even in its fourth year, that you have to give the Peret, which are the grapes that fall down when you're plucking the grapes, that as the Pasuk says, Meyikur Yotes, Uferet Karmachal Leisalakit, you're not allowed to gather those grapes that fall down as you're picking those things, you have to leave it for the poor. And Vyeshle Eilis, there's also a halacha of Eilis, which are when you have a cluster of grapes that doesn't have what's called a shoulder. It's rather a line straight down. That also has to be left for the poor people. That's in general regarding a vineyard. So it says, Bishamai, the fourth year Peres also has those halachas. But Bishamai disagrees, and he says, Kuloi Lagas. Bishamai holds that the reason why you have Matnasanim is because it's called Karmach. It is your vineyard. Now, since it's your vineyard, the halacha of the Pasuk, which says, Uferet Karmach, Loi Salakit, includes the fourth year too, because it's your vineyard. Now, what the poor people actually have to do, according to Beis Shammai, is that they also have to eat in Yerushalayim, or they could redeem it onto money and then take the money up to Yerushalayim. but they can go ahead and take it. The matnas anim has to be left for them. Whereas Bisul say kula legas, no, all of it, even the peret ones and the oilless ones, they all go to the wine press. In other words, you don't leave it for the poor people. And the reason being is because Bisul holds that all of the kerem revai produce is not really considered karmacha. It's not yours. You don't own it. It's actually all mamon gevai. It's all considered Hashem's produce, like Meister Sheni. Where, as the Gemara will shortly learn, that's where Beis Hillel learns at the halachas of Kerem Revai from Ma'aser Sheni, which actually that's going to be the source of that Beis Hillel, who is the Stam Mishnah, is like Reb Meir in regards to halachas of Ma'aser Sheni. So since it's not called Karmacha, so there's no halachas of the Matnas Anim that apply to your vineyard. It's not your vineyard, it's Hashem's vineyard. When it's in the fourth year, it's not yours, so all of it goes to the wine press. So the Gemara explains, my time at Beis Hillel, what's the reason of Beis Hillel? That he holds that there are all these halachas by Kerem Revai, which it doesn't say these halachas of a penalty of a chaymish and of beer and of having halachas of not having parrot and eilis. So he says the Gemara, because Gamri Kodesh, Kodesh mi Meister. He learns out, it says the word holy, Kodesh, by Kerem Revai, and says the same word Kodesh by the halachas of Meister Sheni. Now, ma Meister yesh le chaymish vi yesh le beer, just like by Meister Sheni. There is halacha, as the Torah tells you, regarding if you're redeeming it unto money, you have to add a penalty of a fifth. And there's a lack of a limitation how long you could hold on to it. You have to eliminate it in the third and the sixth year. So the Gzeres Shavah of Kodesh Kodesh tells us, Av Kerem Revai. So too the vineyard of the fourth year, Yesh Lechemesh V'Yesh Lebir. Whereas the Bishamah, Legamah Kodesh Kodesh Mimaiser. Bishamah did not have that Messiah where Gzeres Shavah has to be a Messiah from your Rebbe, from your teacher, going back to Moshe Har Sinai. He didn't have that tradition. And therefore he held that, no, you don't find that halacha. And therefore, it doesn't have that halacha. Now, additionally, says the Gemara, this that Beis Hillel compare the halachas of Kerem Revai to Meiser. Command Svir Lahu. Who is it that they hold like regarding to the definition of Meiser, regarding if we view it as Mamon Gevaya, which is how Reb Meir held, or Mamon Hedyit as the person owns that Meiser Sheni money as Rabbi Huda held? So the Gemara says, Ik Rabbi Huda, if you would entertain to say that he holds like Rabbi Huda, Amai Kula Lagas, then why would he say that the produce of the vineyard of the fourth year, that all of it goes to the wine press, and you don't leave it, it's not called karmacha, you don't leave it for the poor people to take their matnas aniyim, but Omar Meister Mamon Hedyit, but Rabbi Huda holds that the Meister Sheni, and hence the Gzeres Shavah tells Kerem Revai is the same thing, is owned by the owner. It's not owned by Hashem. So if it's owned by the owner, it's karmach, it's your vineyard, and therefore it would be chayv matnas aniyim. So why wouldn't you leave the peret and oilis for the poor people? Alav Kerem Meir, rather says the Gemara, must be that Beis Hillel, who's learning at the halachas of the Kerem Revai from Meiser, saying that it's all Hashem's, is because, yeah, just like by Meiser, it's all Hashem's, it's mamon gevaya, so too is the halach of Kerem Revai. Now, Beis Hillel is considered like a Stam Mishnah because the halach is always like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai. So you see, quote, a Stam Mishnah, an anonymous opinion mentioned like Reb Meir, and that's what the halach is, like Reb Meir that we consider Meiser Sheni, always mamon gevaya, you can never be Mekadosh Isha with Meiser Sheni. Now, so to the second halacha, Rabbi Yehuda behekdesh mahi. So the Gemara says, what's the source? Where do we find a Mishnah that says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that when you do it by mistake, that will create a chil of hekdesh to chulin? But when you do it deliberately, actually that's not being mechalit, and therefore that's not where the liability of me'il is, and that's why there's not going to be kedushin when you do it b'mezit. So the Gemara says that not, like we learned in the Mishnah, mesechlis me'ila. The beginning of that Mishnah says that if someone sends items of hekdesh to be mechalel in the hands of a deaf mute or a mentally deranged person or a minor, and they end up executing the shlichus, so the gizber, the one who sent them, the treasurer, he's liable for the me'ila. Now, let's say they don't do their shlichus. Let's say they do something else. You told them to do one thing, they do something else. So then the gizber, the one who sent them, didn't do the me'ila because they didn't do his shlichus. Now, says the Mishnah further, shilich biyat pikech. Let's say it wasn't in the cherishay to bekan. Let's say he sent it in a sane person. Now, moreover, v'nisker ashele higiyah etzel chemveni, meaning to say that they were using the moiz of hekdesh to buy something in the store. Now, before the shliach, this pekech, the same person who got the money from the gizber, made his way to the storekeeper, he recalled that actually both of them recalled. Both the gizber, he was like, oh, I can't believe the money I gave him to go buy me something from the store wasn't my money, it was really the hekdesh money. And he recalled before he ended up using it to buy the stuff in the store. And also the shliach, the same guy himself said, wait a second, I know the money he gave me was not even his money, it was actually the hekdesh money. And still he goes, after both of them recalled, and he goes and he buys something from the storekeeper. Says the Mishnah, chenveni ma'al l'kashayetzi. So who's going to be the one committing me'ila? Not the mishaleach, meaning the gizber, not the shliach, rather the storekeeper, when he ends up using that money for something else, he's going to be the one that's going to be committing the Me'ila to do the act of Chilul, taking it from Hekdesh to Chulin. And he's the one, because he's the only one that's going to be doing it by mistake. He's not aware that this is Mois Hekdesh, or else he wouldn't take it as payment from this guy buying something from his store. Now, whereas the other two people, they did it deliberately. They ended up both being aware before it was spent, and that's why they're not Chayiv Me'ila. So obviously we see, says the Gemara, that Shaygig Mischal, the storekeeper, he doesn't know about it, he's going to be the one committing Me'ila, and therefore the Chil. Whereas the other two who did it B'mezid, they didn't do any Chil, and therefore they didn't commit any Me'ila, and therefore the only one committing Me'ila is going to be the storekeeper, and not those two. That's the Stam Mishnah, like Rabbi Huda, who says that Shaygig is creating Chil. That's the case of the Mishnah that he holds, that a woman could be Mekadesh with Hekdesh when you do it by mistake, because then you're doing Me'ila, it's now Chulin, and now it's his money to engage the woman. But B'mezid, it's actually not creating Chil, and therefore it's not his money, and therefore in that type of case, he holds that actually he's not going to create a Kedushin. Now, however, the Gemara continues and asks, so explains the halacha of Rav Adar Bar Hava, that he said that the halacha is like Rav Meir in Meiser, and the halacha is Rabbi Huda regarding Hekdesh, because we have a Stam Mishnah like that. And that the Gemara asks, Uk Rabbi Huda be Meiser mi leitnan? You said the halacha is like Rav Meir by Meiser Shena is Mongavaya, because we have a Stam Mishnah like him. And that the Gemara asks, don't we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Huda too, that Meiser is Mamon Hedjit? And therefore that wouldn't be an indicator that halacha is like Rav Meir when we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Huda too. Because Vatnan, we learn the Mishnah Meiser Sheni that says, Hapoider Meiser Sheni Shaloi. Someone redeems his own Meiser Sheni. So then the halacha is, Meiser Belov Chamishisai, as the Torah says, you have to then add a fifth to the value of the Meiser Sheni that you're redeeming. And a fifth more, you have to take up that monies to Yerushalayim and spend the money there on food. Now says the Mishnah, this applies Bein Mishaloi, whether he separated this Meiser Sheni from his own pile of produce, or Bein Shenitin Loi B'matano, or whether it was given to him as a gift. Either way, when he's redeeming that Meiser Sheni that he has, whether because he got it from his own fields or because someone else gave him this Meiser Sheni, that when he redeems it, he has to add a fifth. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now is, what does it mean someone gifted him Meiser Sheni? It means someone took off his second tithe and gave it to this other guy. He says, hey, you could have it. You could take it up to Yerushalayim and you eat it. I'll pass. Although it's a tenth of my produce, I don't want to go up to Yerushalayim. Now, and still we see that the Mishnah is saying that the guy who's redeeming it, who got it as a gift, has to add a fifth. Why? Because obviously we're calling it his, because only the one that has to add on a fifth is, as the Pasuk says in Yikach of Zayin, Im Gol Yigol Ishmi Maisrei. As the Gemara says many times, that the one who has to add the fifth is only the guy himself. If someone else redeems it, he doesn't have to add a fifth. And we have this Mishnah saying, someone who got something as a gift, Maisr Sheni, when he redeems it, when he did consecrate it onto money, he has to add a fifth. So says the Gemara, Mani, who's the Stam Tan of this Mishnah? Elim Remeir, if you would entertain to say it's Remeir, Mi Matzi Yovle B'matana? Can you even gift Meiser Sheni to someone else? The whole premise of this Mishnah is, when someone gifted the Meiser Sheni, okay, so the question is, does he have to add a fifth or not, and saying he has to add a fifth? Question is, according to Remeir, couldn't someone gift Meiser Sheni to someone else? In other words, that it should be considered his, and then he would have to go ahead and add the fifth? But V'amar Meisa Mamin Gavayu, who Remeir holds, that Meiser Sheni is Hashem's money. In other words, you can't change ownership of yours to someone else. In other words, it's like the guy that he gave it to, it's not his. In other words, the halacha of adding a fifth, when we say it's the owner that has to add the fifth, it's the guy whose field it grew in, because it can't mean the real owner, because Meiser Sheni, the real owner, is Hashem. Just Hashem says, the one whose field it grew and who he has to take off the Meiser Sheni from his own produce, if he wants to be paid, then he has to add a fifth. But according to Meir, you can't even have this halacha in the first place, because it's not even the guy who got it as a gift, it's not his. The halacha of the fifth is only the one whose field it grew in, because that person can't be called Meiser, it can't be his Meiser. Elav Rabbi Huda, so obviously you have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Huda, who, yeah, the reason why this guy who got it as a gift, it's his Meiser Sheni, even though it didn't grow in his own crop. And therefore, since it's his own Meiser Sheni, he's the owner of it, if he would be paided, we have to add a fifth, is because it's like Rabbi Huda, who holds Meiser's mom and head, yet it's owned by the person, and he can then give it over to someone else to own. That's why you see that you have to add a fifth, so you have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, so like Rabbi Huda, why are you saying that Allah is like Rabbi Meir regarding Meiser Sheni, mom and Gavaya, because you have a Stam Mishnah? We have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Huda too. So the Gemara says, actually, Lo'ilam Rabbi Meir. You could say that Mishnah Meiser Sheni is like Rabbi Meir. But according to Rav Meir, how can you have this halacha of gifting? But v'hacha ma'iskinu, what's the Mishnah they're talking about? Is kigun diyoiv nahale betivle. When we said that the original owner gave him, quote, ma'iser sheni, he didn't give him literal ma'iser sheni. He gave him tevel, the untithed produce, before the ma'iser sheni was taken off. Now, uksava, moreover, the tana that Mishnah holds, matana shloi hurmu, regarding gifts that have to be taken off from one's produce, truma, ma'iser, ma'iser sheni, is kemishlo hurmu damin. It is qualified as if it wasn't taken off yet, meaning as if it's non-existent yet, the ma'iser sheni, and that's why you could gift it, because there is no ma'iser sheni yet here. In other words, because there is an opinion that holds in general, when you have tevel, we view it as if the inside there somewhere, there's the truma, there's the ma'iser, it's kemishlo hurmu damin. So according to that opinion, you can never gift the ma'aser sheni to someone else because in there that ma'aser sheni is only the original owner's because it's the one whose field it grew in because it's really Hashem who owns it and the liability of the fifth is only on the one who grew it. Whereas this tana holds, as long as you didn't take off the ma'aser sheni yet, it's not yet considered mamon gevaya. So therefore, when this guy gave it to this other guy, he didn't yet give him ma'aser because it's not ma'aser yet, it's tevel. Then when he got the gift of the tevel from that other person, then he separates ma'aser sheni from it, because you have to take off a second tithe from all the produce, and you have part of that now, you take a ma'aser sheni, that's your ma'aser sheni. You never get gifted ma'aser sheni. Yeah, ma'aser sheni you can't gift, because it's going to Greg Meir. So how could it be a gift according to a Meir to say that even if he got it from someone else, as to he got it in a state of tevel. And that ma'aser sheni is his own ma'aser sheni, and that's why he would have to give the chaymish when he would be paid it. So Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's bring a different raya, that there is a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Huda, that Ma'aser Sheni is Mamon Hedjit. A Mishnah of Ma'aser Sheni. It says, someone's redeeming, similar as same halacha as regarding the Ma'aser Sheni halacha, someone redeems his own Netter Avai, which again, the fourth year fruits, you have to bring up in Eden Yerushalayim. Let's say he doesn't want to bring up all the fruits, so he redeems it onto money. So the halacha is, Ma'aser B'lov Chamishisai, he has to add on a fifth to that. Whether it's his own fruits of the fourth year, or whether someone else gave him the fruits of the fourth year, and instead of bringing that up, he wants to take up the money, he would have to go ahead and add a fifth. So says the Gemara, Mani, who's the town of this Mishnah? If you would say it's Remeir, mi matzi yoivle? Again, the same question as before. Could Remeir hold that you give it to him as a gift? But Vaha, but this Tana, Gamri Kodesh Kodesh Mimaiser, obviously learns the Gzer Shavah we mentioned before from Basil. Obviously, this Tana learns that Gzer Shavah, learning out the halachas of Kerem Ravai, Netter Ravai, from the halachas of Maiser. Now, the reason being is because actually, if he didn't learn this Gzer Shavah of Netter Ravai from Maiser Sheni, then where would he know this halacha that there even is halacha in the first place of adding on a fifth? That we said is Basil's opinion. The only way you know you have to add a fifth when you're redeeming it is because you learn that the halachas of Kerem Ravai from the halachas of Ma'aser Sheni. So obviously this town is learning out that Gzeir Shava. If that's the case, if he's learning out this Gzeir Shava, well then you're back to the question. That means to say that Kerem Ravai has the same halachas like Ma'aser Sheni. According to a Meir, Ma'aser Sheni, you can't gift it. So how can this Mishnah be talking about gifting Kerem Ravai? Elalav rather says the Gemara, obviously that Ma'aser can also be given as a gift. How so? Because Rabbi Huda, the Stam Mishnah, Ma'aser Sheni is going like Rabbi Huda. So you see that Ma'aser Sheni, and so too Kerem Ravai, by extension of this Gzer Shava, is considered Mamon Hedjit. So we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Huda. So the Gemara says again, no, La'olam Remeir. It's actually going like Remeir. Now, how can you gift it? V'achma'eskinan, similar to the previous answer of the Ma'aser Sheni, is going to Yoiv Kishu Smadar. When it's being given at an earlier stage, when the grape is just starting to be visible, meaning when once the petal on the outside starts falling off, and the chiddush of this Mishnah is telling us that as long as it's still smadar, still a little grape, you can gift it to someone else, because it's not yet called the netter ravai, it's not yet called the fruits of the fourth year, because it's not yet called a fruit. And that's why, so it's not netter ravai. So then netter ravai is Hashem's. It's not the fruits yet, it's not called a fruit yet, which is coming to exclude like Rabbi Yasi, not like Rabbi Yasi. He says in Masechtas Arli, he says that smadar, a grape at this stage, in the first 3 years when it's arla, is aser, is forbidden to have an offram, because it actually is already considered a fruit at that stage, and therefore qualifies for what the Pasuk says, aralta as piryai, which again, the time of this Mishnah is coming to exclude from that and tell you that, no, if it's just smadar, it's still that little grape that didn't yet mature yet to the next stage of baiser, then it's not called a fruit yet, and that's why you can gift it to someone else, because it's not yet, quote, Hashem's, which would be only when it's a netter of eye, when it's a pri, it's not a pri yet. And that's why it's like Rav Meir, and that's why you can gift it, because it's not yet Baloch of Netzer Avai. But yeah, of course, with a full-fledged fruit, then it would be like Rav Meir, who learns after Ma'aser Sheni, that you wouldn't be able to gift it. But since here it's not a pre yet, therefore when you do separate and it does mature and it does turn into Netzer Avai, then obviously the person already had it as a gift, then he himself would have to go ahead and add the fifth. So the Gemara says, Toshima, let's bring a different raya. Again, from a Mishnah Masechtas Ma'aser Sheni. Says that if Moshe Chimenu, if a person draws from his friend, Meiser, where the guy wants to give him Meiser Sheni, Besela, meaning he pays him a Sela, and the guy says, okay, you can have Meiser Sheni. Now, Bolo Hispik lived Daisa, but he didn't get a chance yet. He did Meshicha, he did a Kinyan to draw the Meiser from the other person, but didn't get a chance to redeem it. He actually didn't pay him at She'amad B'Shtayim. By the time he's coming to pay the money, the guy says, I just want you to know, the price already doubled for the Meiser Sheni that you took from me. Says the Mishnah, Noisin Sela, he only has to give the Sela that they originally had agreed on, and he gains the other Sela, meaning that he doesn't have to pay the inflated price, because from the moment that he already did Meshicha, he already was kainet. And the chiddush in this is that we don't say that it went up in price to Meiser while it was still by the original owner's domain, and that he would have to double the price when he wants to be Mechalet. No. The halacha is that he gets to keep it at the original price. Now, says the Gemara, it says the Mishnah, why? Because the Meiser Sheni Shalai. Because Meiser Sheni is his. In other words, Meiser is Mamon Hedyot. It's owned by the common man. And therefore, just like when a regular person between one man and another man, when he wants to purchase something from him, once he does Meshicha, even if he didn't pay the money, it already created the Kinyan. It's already by the Lekeach. Here too, it's already by the Lekeach. And although the price went up, I don't have to pay the price that doubled. Just the original price. Says the Gemara Mani, who is the Tana of this Mishnah. Elim Remeir, if you would entertain that it's Remeir, Amai Mistaker Besela, why would the consumer gain that he doesn't have to pay the extra Sela? But the Pasuk in Meyikra says, V'nosin esa kesef v'komloi omrachman, the Torah tells you, when it comes to Hektish cannot be purchased with Meshicha, by drawing it to you. Because the Pasuk, actually the full Pasuk says, V'yosef chamishas kesef erkecha olav, that you should add on the fifth of the kesef. In other words, when you want to redeem something from Hektish, you give the money, like the Gemara is quoting the Pasuk, v'komloi. And then it's yours, which means to say that only with money can you acquire something of Hekdesh, but a document or chazaka would not acquire land, and Meshicha does not acquire metaltlin. So if it's going to the Rav Meir, who he holds that Meiser Sheni is Mamon Gevaya, then although you did Meshicha, but until you pay the money, since Meiser Sheni is Hekdesh money, it's Mamon Gevaya, then you should not be gaining. You should have to pay the new price because you didn't give the money yet. Elav Rabbi Huda, rather it's obvious that this Stam Mishnah in Meiser Sheni is like Rabbi Huda, and therefore we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Huda. So back to the question, why did Rav Adar Bar Hava say that the Halacha is going to be like Rav Meir because we have a Stam Mishnah like him regarding Meiser Sheni being Mamon Gevaya, when you have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Huda that's saying it's Mamon Hedyot? So the Gemara answer is, you're right. La'olam Rabbi Huda, obviously this Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Huda. But V'hacha Chad Stama, for Rabbi Huda's opinion, we have only one anonymous Mishnah like him. V'hacha Trei Stami. But here, we have two anonymous Mishnayos saying like Rav Meir, because actually, it's in two places, actually it's in three places, in Shas, that Rebbe wrote this same anonymous Mishnah of Kerem Ravai, one time in Masechtas Ma'aser Sheni, one time in Masechtas Peah, and one time in Masechtas Idyos. So again, meaning two, maybe even three, that times that this anonymous Mishnah was said, and therefore it outweighs the one anonymous Mishnah of Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara asks, but why? But if Rabbi Huda Nasi, when he put together Mishnayos, when he didn't say who the Tana was, because he wanted to indicate that the halacha should be like this Mishnah, therefore he said anonymously that this should be the halacha, so Mali Chad Stam and Mali Trei Stam, then what's the difference if it's one anonymous Mishnah or two anonymous Mishnayos? It still has the same conceptualization of anonymous, of anonymity, and therefore why should we say that halacha is more like Rabbi Meir than Rabbi Huda? So the Gemara says, you're right. But Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, he says, you want to know why halacha is Rabbi Meir? You're right, you have anonymous like Rabbi Huda, anonymous like Rabbi Meir, it doesn't make a difference how much. But Ha'ilutznan bibchirta kavasei. Because since in the chosen Mishnayos, which is a reference to Masechtas Idyos, which actually depends on how you pronounce, is it Idyos or Idyos, if you pronounce it Idyos, then actually that word Idyos, as is brought up in the Sugyas regarding Hezek of Mazik, means the best, the choicest. It's that the Masechtas Idyos was the choice of all the great that they had, that they said testimony that day, which they had from all the Gedolim that they were saying over, those Mishnayos, we always say halachas like them. And since in that Mishnayos of Idyas, it says this same Mishnah, which is anonymous Mishnah, saying like Reb Meir, that regarding Maaser Sheni, it's Mamon Gevaya, that's why the halacha is going to be like Reb Meir by Maaser Sheni, that it's Mamon Gevaya, although we do have one anonymous Mishnah like Reb Yehuda. And again, the other halacha which we proved, the halacha is like Reb Yehuda regarding Hektish, that it's only Bishagid that's Mischal, and B'mezid it's not Mischal.